I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack.
Yo! And welcome back to another episode of the Big Sports Podcast, which is the realest, blackest, funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the side. Go die. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. All in your mouth. Audio Shop Talk in your ear holes, man. Really going time. Season 6, episode 3. All three y'all. We got all three of y'all. Really going down. We in here for No Shave November. No shit. Hold on, let me comb my beard. We in here for No Shave November. I say I'm going to participate in No Shave November this year. Go ahead and get it in. We got a new president. I'm going to talk about that again. Joe Biden won the president. I'm going to see how Buford feel about that. See what either Brother Shabazz or Reverend Pettigrew, see which one of them want to check in, you know. They might stop by the show today, getting it in. We got some good topics to talk to y'all about, man. It's a good day. It's a good day. It's been a good week. I've learned some new things to help expand the businesses. So be on the lookout for some new and exciting things coming with the Fix Sports Podcast, with the Freedom Train Network as a whole, and with Joseph Ward. You heard me. I told y'all we got the greatest college football teams of all time. So basically, the last 40 years. So we're gonna take it from the 1980s to 2020, and we're gonna do a bracket to break down who is the greatest college football team of the last 40 years from 1980 to 2020. I know who I think it's going to be. I ain't going to tell y'all yet. Some of y'all already know. If you've been down with me, y'all know who I think it is. But we're going to have a little bracket. Me and my homeboy Doc Love, my homeboy Javard Grant, my homeboy Sam Dixon. We're going to get together. We're going to break down these brackets, and we're going to make these things happen. But I ain't going to delay the show no more too much longer. I'm going to go ahead and start getting in. But, you know, first, give a shout-out to our sponsors, the people who bring this thing to us, who helping us have this thing going. It's on the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants is a Black history, African history platform that brings you the stories of the unsung heroes of the African diaspora. African history at your fingertips. Our stories from our perspective at your fingertips. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you those stories through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is a free app available on the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. The On the Shoulders of Giants online course. And there will be more online courses and more webinars coming soon. You can support On the Shoulders of Giants on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG. We have the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as face-to-face or virtual educational classes, educational sessions, keynote speaking sessions, all those things. You want to come speak or teach? Speak or teach. On the Shoulders of Giants can do it, and you can do it virtually or in person. All you got to do is visit the website, www.ontheshoulders1.com. Make sure you get your copies of On the Shoulders of Giants, Volumes 1 through 3. Volume 1 covers sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora in North America. America, Volume 2, cover Central America, Volume 3, cover South America, and Volume 4, the Caribbean, is coming soon. Had to get me a little sip, but make sure y'all check out On the Shoulders of Giants, though, for real. Great platform, great information. You will learn a lot about our black ancestors, our African ancestors, our melanated ancestors from around the globe. Real good series. Check it out. And they got real good information and some real good deals coming up. So www.onthesoulders1.com. Remember, patreon.com/thefix. All right. Patreon.com/OTSOG. But make sure you also support The Fix on Patreon at patreon.com/TheFix. Patreon.com/TheFix. All right, man. So before we get these topics in, you know I got to run my mouth a bit. Because Joe Biden is now the presidente of the United States, say. Beating Donald L. Trump a 270-something to 214 or 284. I think 284 to 214. Either way, Joe Biden got the majority of the electoral votes, and he is now elected president. Of course, you know Trump in there acting like a little bitch. You know he is. Trump in there. I want them to stop counting. I want everybody to stop counting. Stop counting the votes. Buddy said, we was up early, and then I don't know what happened. But they kept counting. I did not think that they was going to flip Georgia, but they flipped Georgia. So shout out to Stacey Abrams for rallying the troops on the Democratic side to be able to flip Georgia, for helping them flip Georgia by getting a lot of people registered to vote. So, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward. I know a lot of people think racism is over because Trump got voted out. They got to remember racism was alive and well before Trump got in. Black people were being killed en masse before Trump got in. So let's not act like racism is over. Let's be more vigilant. Black people, please, let's not get caught slipping. All right. So, but that's what's going on in the world. Because, you know, a lot of white folk going to be mad. You got damn right. We're going to be mad. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How can that happen? It's, if you don't know who I am, I'm going to be popping up all through this show. Okay? I'm popping up all throughout this show because I am mad that Donald J. Trump is not president of the United States. By the way, black folk, remember, I hate your kind. I don't like your kind, okay? None of us white people like your kind, no matter how nice we try to act. You and your Joe Biden and your Kamala Harris, you let a colored woman, how did you let the colored woman up in the White House? We don't like your kind. You already had that Barack Obama up in the White House putting his fingerprints all on the White House's stuff. Now you want to have this colored girl putting all her fingerprints on the White House's stuff. There ain't been one black person in the White House since Barack Obama left. I can guarantee you that Donald J. Trump would not allow any colored folk besides the help, unless you're the help. If you're the help, then it's all good. But Donald J. Trump, would not allow any colored folk, especially any uppity colored folk, to think that they can go into the White House and touch stuff. Nope. Better be cleaning. But I tell you what, you guys may have won this election, but we'll be back in 4 years with another candidate. I might even run. White power loves me. White people and white power loves me. I am a demigod. I am a figure. I am someone who can shake up the establishment. You know, they might even vote for me, Buford. But I tell you what, I don't care that the Democrats won. That's not real racism. Nope, this Republican Donald J. Trump racism, that's real racism right here. We got you. That racism and that white power stuff that Joe Biden, Joe Biden is soft. Joe Biden is soft, just like the North was soft during the time of the Civil War. Only the South know what time it is, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris don't. Kamala. What kind of name is that for a woman that's supposed to be in the White House? Kamala. What about names like Barbara and Betty and Melania, Macaronia? Well, Donald Trump's wife had a fucked up name too. I ain't gonna lie. She wasn't no pure American. That's one thing I did not like about Donald Trump is his wife was not a pure American. Nope. Donald Trump's wife was not an American. She had her foreign fingerprints all up in the White House, too. At least Michelle Obama, even though she's colored, she was American. That Donald Trump, he had a non-American touch and stuff. But I love Donald Trump because he brought racism. He re-energized racism, I tell you that. White power is going to rule today. I think one day we're going to be back. We're going to be back. I tell you what. If you don't think we're going to be back, you don't know me. Buford is my name. Buford B. Willingham is my name. I am from Crawfordville, Florida. Buford B. Willingham is my name. I'm from Crawfordville, Florida. And I tell you what, one day, white power will be back. White power will be back. Okay, Buford, go kill yourself. Go kill yourself. That's a message from Buford. I told y'all he wanted to pop up. Reverend Pettigrew or Brother Shabazz, one of them two, going to stop by soon. I am here now, my brother. Your show is not going to get started, my brother, because we have to talk about this new day. I am Brother W. Shabazz. And the W stands for a whole lot of pizzazz. You feel me? What we have witnessed is a shift of power at the highest level in the United States from a Republican party system to a Democratic party system. And a Democratic party system, I may add, that black people in mass, a majority of black people who voted Democrat. So what does that mean, my brother? That means that them damn Democrats owe us for voting them in. They have to do something for us because they were voted in by black people. Black people spend a lot of their votes on that Democratic Party, so I want to see those Democrats make sure that they do something for black people. Now, Donald J. Trump, the devil he is, the turd who was flushed on the third, as my father would say, flushed the turd on the third. Say it with me. We flushed that turd on the third. We flushed that turd on the third. We flushed that turd on the third. We all flushed that turd on the third. So Donald J. Trump is now gone. He will not go out without a fight, and he will not go out without acting like a spoiled child. But Donald J. Trump, he's gone from the White House. Now, Joseph Biden and Kamala Harris, you are on the clock. And that's all I have to say. All right. So, quick rundown. All right, Brother Shabazz, I appreciate that. Brother Shabazz. Buford, Brother Shabazz. Let's get into this show, though. Y'all talk too much. Let's get to the show. Quick rundown. HBCU Spotlight. Shine our spotlight on an HBCU grad named Tiffany Sykes, who's making waves in the Ivy League. HBCU News. There's a sought-after high school football player named Herman Smith, who's deciding to go play for an HBCU versus playing for a PWI. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so Los Angeles Dodgers player Justin Turner, who was talking about last week, who got COVID and was still playing, but then they took him out the game. But then after they took him out the game, he went back out on the field to celebrate. I told you we're going to get an update on what's happening because they was like, they're investigating everything. But they say they will not punish him. He's going to be cleared. So, hey, we're going to go into that. LaVar Ball talking about who he don't want his youngest son to play for in the NBA. If you have been watching baseball, you remember the name Tony La Russa. So Tony La Russa was recently hired by the Chicago White Sox to be their manager. I think Buddy like 76. So we're going to get into that. So there are reports that the NFL is saying, well, has said, there are reports that NFL has said that the Super Bowl, as far as the attendance in the Super Bowl, will only be around 20%. But the Super Bowl's, some of the NFL like, hey, bro, I don't think we said that, cuz. I don't think we said that, so we're going to get into that. We'll get some updates on some scores of college football in the NFL. The Arizona men's basketball team has got some NCAA violations. We're going to get into that. There was a football fight last week between the Bears and the Saints. Javon Williams bust Buddy in the face, took his mouthpiece and bust Buddy in the face. We're going to give you some details on that, and we're going to give you the fallout from that. And my weekly rant is aimed at the motherfucking Dallas Cowboys for playing like a whole bunch of bitches in 2020. I know we got some injuries, but we've been playing like some hoes. As a matter of fact, I'm actually watching this Cowboys-Steelers game right now, and we just gave up a goddamn touchdown to the motherfucking Steelers. They just scored a touchdown on our ass. But some good ass water I'm drinking. Oh, some good ass water I'm drinking. But y'all know, man, we got to start this thing off right. HBCU Spotlight, we got to start this thing off right. Break it down, like. Give me that. So, Tiffany Sykes is her name. And balling on y'all fools is her Mickey Ficky game. All right, Dartmouth College Director of Athletics and Recreation, Harry Sheeney, announced the promotion of Tiffany Dawn Sykes to the Senior Associate Athletics Director for Varsity Sports, while also taking on the role of Senior Woman Administrator. Sykes has 18 years of experience in college athletics, including compliance, varsity sports oversight, and athletics communications. It is my pleasure to welcome Tiffany to her new role as Senior Associate Athletics Director in charge of varsity sports. And as the Senior Women's Administrator, It's S-H-E-E-H-Y, so she-he. Said, Tiffany has proven to be a wonderful colleague in her previous role as Associate AD for Compliance, and she stood tall among a very strong field of candidates during the search process. Sykes moving fast. After Department's Associate Athletics Director for Compliance for the past year, she has not only overseen all of the complex and difficult issues surrounding player eligibility during the COVID-19 pandemic, but also served as the sport supervisor for the ski team and spearheaded the successful effort to bring the NCAA Skiing Championship to Hanover in 2025. Oh, Tiffany! More recently, she has also overseen men and women's tennis, softball, and women's volleyball. In her new role, Sykes will be responsible for providing leadership and direction to all of Dartmouth's 30 NCAA Division I varsity sports. She will have direct oversight of select varsity sports programs and other functional areas within the department, including varsity athletics, communications, compliance, and the groundbreaking Dartmouth Peak Performance Initiative called DP2 Double Penetration, baby. I am excited to have an opportunity to move into this role, Tiffany Sykes said. Dartmouth College has been home to me for over a year, and I look forward to spending many more as a part of the Big Green family. I want to thank Harry and the search committee for their time and for entrusting me to serve in an expanded capacity within the department. Prior to coming to Dartmouth, Sykes served as the Assistant Athletics Director for Compliance at Grambling State in Louisiana, HBCU, since April of 2017, overseeing the day-to-day responsibilities of the department's compliance program, including monitoring education, and certification. She also has sport responsibilities as the supervisor for the baseball, softball, and women's tennis teams, plus created the mall, a fueling station for all GSU student athletes. Oh, the mall. So she's an Ivy Leaguer with HBCU roots. Oh, man, the Cowboys threw an interception. Come on, Dallas. Come on, Dallas, throw interceptions, man. All right, so she got them HBCU roots, right? Tiffany Sykes has also spent time at Norfolk State for 4 years as an NCAA eligibility specialist at Chowan University in North Carolina for 3 years as the director of NCAA compliance. She began her career in college athletics in 2002. I began my college career in 2002. Look at it, we got so much in common. At St. Paul's College in Lawrenceville, Virginia, in sports information, and took on the role of the senior woman administrator during her 4 years there. Other stops include Virginia Union University and initial stay at Grambling State, during which time she earned her master's degree in sport administration and the Central Intercollegiate Athletics Association, the CIAA conference office. A 2001 graduate of Virginia State with a bachelor's degree in health, physical education, recreation, and dance, Sykes was a team captain and a four-year starter for the Trojans' volleyball team, as well as a three-year letter winner on the track and field team. She is a member of the National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletics and National Association for Athletics Compliance, Women Leaders in College Sports, and the Minority Opportunities Athletic Association. Tiffany! I want to be like Tiffany Sykes when I grow up. I definitely do. So I want all y'all to put y'all hands together for our spotlight this week. Tiffany Sykes. She will be Senior Associate Athletic Director for Varsity Sports at Dartmouth. All right. Not say dart, y'all say muth, dart, dart. When I say muth, y'all say dart, muth, muth. When I say Tiffany, y'all say Sykes, Tiffany, Tiffany. When I say Tiffany, y'all say Sykes, Tiffany, Tiffany, Sykes. That's what's up. She is the Senior Associate Athletics Director for Varsity Sports and the senior woman administrator at Dartmouth. Really, going down in the South, HBCU born, HBCU bred. And when it's all said and done, we going to be HBCU dead. Now, though I am not a fan of Biden and his administration, I will say this. People always talk about how going to an HBCU will hold you back from being successful in different realms in life. But Kamala Harris is an example to show that just because you've gone to an HBCU doesn't, first of all, you're not underachieving, and going to an HBCU mean that you can go on to do a whole lot of stuff and ball out. So Tiffany Sykes, Tiffany Dawn Sykes. Just made me think about that. So one time for Tiffany Dawn Sykes, man. One time for Tiffany Sykes. And that made me burp. But now that is the conclusion of our HBCU Spotlight. Why'd you stop? I was almost there. Why'd you stop? I was almost there. I was almost at my peak and you stop. So, HBCU News, Herman Smith shuns FBS to play for Deion Sanders. So, and Deion is going to be able to use his celebrity to sway a lot of high school players to come play for him at Jackson State. So, Friday, November 7th will be remembered as a big day for Jackson State and Deion Sanders. Minutes after Sanders' son, four-star quarterback Shador Sanders, committed to Jackson State University, the program got a commitment from a three-star athlete with multiple FBS offers. San Diego's Herman Smith announced that he would be taking his talent to Jackson, Mississippi as well. And, hey, man, some of y'all can come to FAMU too. Remember that. The 5'11", 190-pounder had outstanding offers from Boston College, Fresno State, Hawaii, Idaho, Lehigh, New Mexico, and San Diego State. But Sanders and JSU came in to offer him, and Smith was impressed. That was amazing, Smith told 24/7 Sports. Talking to Deion Sanders and getting an offer for him was incredible and something I wasn't expecting. I know they're not recruiting that many kids out this way, so to have a legend like him call and offer means a lot. Smith made it clear that JSU was a player despite his FBS offers. Right now, I would say they're my leader. I've had some family that have gone to school there, and plenty at a HBCU, and playing at a HBCU would be pretty special. A big part of my decision is finding a school where I can grow, not just as a player, but a person as well. And I think playing at Jackson State would definitely help me become a better man and leader. I'm just saying, man, HBCU, bro, you're going to become better. And this was without even setting foot in Jackson. I know we're in a dead period right now, but I would love to get out there and see the campus, Smith said. I don't have anything set or anything, but I would love to get out there before our season starts up in January, Smith said. If I do get out there and feel comfortable and everything feels right, that could definitely be the move for me. Like I said, there's a lot to like about Jackson State. On and off the field, so I'm giving them a hard look for sure. Smith is considered a two-way prospect, able to play on either side of the ball as far as two-way players go. He will soon be playing for perhaps the greatest modern two-way player in NFL history in prime time, Deion Sanders. So come on, bro. Come on, Herman. Bring it on home, bro. Bring it on home, Herman. Come on, play for that HBCU. So, we're going to keep our eye on Herman Smith and see if he actually chooses. See, the headline be fooling. The headline make it seem like he was choosing. But the headline straight fooling. So we're going to see if Herman Smith actually, we're going to keep an eye on him and see if he actually chooses Jackson State. But he has them number one on his list of teams that he wants to play for. So that is Herman Smith. All right. So, man, let's go ahead and get to this rundown, get to these stories, man. So we can go ahead and give it to you. Good. I done put the tip in. Now it's time to go ahead and make it happen. So, the Major League Baseball decided to clear Justin Turner for the World Series celebration after a positive coronavirus test after he ran back out on the field. It was like, I want to go celebrate with my squad. I want to celebrate with my homeboys. Let me celebrate with my homeboys. He went back out there, right? So, according to CNN, Major League Baseball would not punish Justin Turner, who tested positive for the coronavirus during the World Series for returning to the field to celebrate the championship with his Los Angeles Dodgers teammates. And the league announced that on Friday. MLB investigators found that Turner, though he had received permission from at least one Dodgers employee to join his teammates on the field on October 27th after Los Angeles defeated Tampa Bay in four games, Commissioner Rob Manfred said in a statement, Turner also was actively encouraged to leave an isolation room and join teammates for a photograph, the commissioner said. Many teammates felt they had already been exposed to Mr. Turner and were prepared to tolerate the additional risk, Manfred said. Turner apologized in a statement. I sincerely apologize to everyone on the field for failing to appreciate the risk of returning to the field, he said. I have spoken with almost every teammate, coach, and staff member, and my intentions were never to make anyone uncomfortable or put anyone at further risk. Actually, they were. Because you went back out on the field. He also said he should have waited until his teammates had cleared the field before returning for a photo to celebrate his first World Series win and the first for the franchise in 32 years. The commissioner said he thought Turner, a third baseman who hit 320 in the World Series and is a free agent, showed remorse for his actions. We all have made mistakes as we navigated these unprecedented challenges and have tried to learn from those mistakes so they are not repeated, Manfred said. With this in mind, I am closing this matter by applauding Justin for accepting responsibility, apologizing, and making a commitment to set a positive example going forward. The commissioner said the league could have handled the situation better by having someone stay with him and having him taken back to the team's hotel sooner. Dodgers president Stan Kasten said Friday that while events unfolded rapidly and chaotically, they will improve the way they handle similar events in the future. So basically, they letting them all, because they were like, we should have had more security on them. So he free to go. So they want to run. I told y'all last week this wasn't really gonna be a big matter for the MLB. He wasn't gonna get in real trouble, even though what he did was stupid and selfish. You know, because you never know how somebody could react to the COVID virus. They could actually die. They could take it home to somebody, to their family, and their family members die. Like, it's real serious. But they like, all right, we already won a World Series. As of right now, anybody really sick like that, so it's all good. They ain't really tripping off of it, because there are no real consequences as of yet, or real consequences that they are telling us about. So they like, all right, just turn he all right, he good. What he did was wrong, but he good. He cool with us though, so you know how that go. So I mean, you know, even though I don't agree with Justin Turner with what he did, I knew that he wasn't going to get no real punishment. I knew it wasn't going to be no real thing behind this because of the circumstances. They had already been exposed because they had already messed up by letting them play. And I think that's another thing, too. They had already messed up by letting them play. They didn't know the status in enough time, so he was just out there just playing. So he hadn't already been exposing himself to other people as far as the COVID, unknowingly. So now you do gotta check him from knowingly exposing, though. Like, I'm just saying, he did knowingly expose people to the COVID, and we gotta stop acting like COVID ain't serious. Of course, everybody don't get affected the same, but COVID is serioso. So we can't be acting like, oh man, he's got a common cold. He got some shit that's killing people. So now, a lot of people fucked up, but we're not gonna take the onus off of Justin Turner. But at the same time, if MLB ain't gonna punish him, we're not gonna trip. Cause it's a waste of time and energy to trip if the MLB ain't gonna punish him. You know what I'm saying? You be out here, you'll run yourself ragged and crazy, being all mad that he didn't get punished, when the MLB ain't gonna punish him, the Dodgers ain't gonna punish him. Hopefully, he didn't transmit the COVID to anybody else, hopefully. And hopefully there are no dire consequences to it. But we're going to see, man. We're going to see. But that's the latest in the Justin Turner story. He was cleared by MLB and won't receive punishment for going back out on the field and celebrating with his team after being told that he has COVID and been told to stay in isolation, but not told to stay in isolation, but told to stay in isolation, but not told, but told, but not told. So there it is. That's ladies on Justin Turner. So that boy LaVar Ball back in the news. Whenever I hear LaVar Ball, man, I start laughing. Because I know how white people jaws get tight. White people draws get real tight, so I just, on the inside, I just be like, because white people draws get real tight when LaVar Ball come around, when he start talking, because there's really nothing they can do to him. There's really nothing they can do to LaVar, and that's what's beautiful about the whole situation is LaVar on his platforms, so there's really nothing that they can do. They could just not like him, but it's really nothing that they can do. So, LaVar Ball is approaching his third NBA draft. By that, we mean his third son is approaching the NBA draft, even though the second one didn't even get a chance. The first one, Lonzo plays for the Pelicans. The second one, Jello, I don't know where he plays. And the third one, LaMelo, yeah. He's going to be in his upcoming draft. So let me read. LaVar Ball is approaching his third NBA draft, and by that we mean his third son is approaching the NBA draft. I just read that, right? The elder Ball got everything he wanted when Lonzo Ball was selected second overall by the Los Angeles Lakers in the 2017 draft, which seems like years ago. He got nothing he wanted when LiAngelo Ball entered the 2018 draft and excited without hearing his name called. And exited without hearing his name called. With LaMelo Ball not among the top prospects of the 2020 draft, LaVar is again trying to plot out his son's future, and it takes him to some interesting places. He's running his mouth. Great marketer. LaVar Ball is a great marketer. Great marketer. So does LaVar Ball want LaMelo to be taken first overall by the Minnesota Timberwolves and form an exciting core with Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell? Nope. He does want to see his youngest son join an obvious contender with the Golden State Warriors. Negatory. This is how the article is written, by the way. How about landing with the Charlotte Hornets, Chicago Bulls, Cleveland Cavaliers, Atlanta Hawks, teams with varying degrees of future excitement? None of the above. Note, LaVar Ball wants his son to play for the New York Knicks or Detroit Pistons, as captured in this clip from the Pascal Show on YouTube. So let's see what this is talking about.
Oh, a player with a shirt, with a shirt, with a shirt. Let's say. Got a brand to do that.
Wow.
Got a brand to do that. And no, I've changed since he wasn't in college like these two guys.
Yeah.
You got a brand, they got to pay me all for the royalties of having that shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So every shirt they sell, he gets a part of that. Because he's not in school.
Because he's not in school.
So let me ask you, man.
Yes.
So do you have any idea in regards to the draft where he's going to be going to? Can you give a little bit of a hint? A tiny bit?
You can give a small hint. Like I said, I want him either in New York or Detroit.
Oh, not here?
Not here.
Not in L.A.?
Not in L.A.
Why?
Not right now. Let me tell you what.
Okay.
The makeup that they have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not good for me. When they finish with the AD and LeBron here and all that, because check this out. Already had a son in LA.
Right.
With a raggedy ass coach. So it don't matter where you go. The key is to have the right coach behind you.
Yeah. So that's what he's saying. He wants his son in Detroit or New York, and he talked about, as you heard him talking about, how Luke Walton was a raggedy-ass coach. I don't remember who the coach is of the Detroit Pistons, but I know Steve Nash. Well, no, who the coach going to be for the Knicks? I forgot, but it ain't like either those teams got, top-notch coaches and stuff. So when LaVar When LaVar's talking basketball, I don't listen to him. When he's talking business, I listen to him. When we talking basketball, I don't be listening to all that. My nose itching like a mug. But let me read. When asked why he didn't want LaMelo in Los Angeles like his brother at the start of his career, LaVar made clear that he still has no love for Luke Walton nor much interest in a post-LeBron James Anthony Davis team. And he said, as you heard, he said, the team is not good for him. He didn't say nothing about his son. He said L.A. is not good for his son because basically his son won't. His son going to be probably be on the bench if he go to L.A. It's a good chance he'll be on the bench because, you know, the Lakers don't need LaMelo. They don't need him. You feel me? LaMelo probably won't even be on the board long enough to go to either L.A. team. So, but at the same time, LaMelo going to go where the fuck he get drafted, you know. So the makeup that they have right now, that's not good for me. That's what he said. When they finish with AD and LeBron here and all that, check this out. Already had a son in L.A. with a raggedy-ass coach. So it don't matter where you go. The key is to have the right coach behind you. Right. Yeah, because, you know, Luke Walton ruined Lonzo's career. Even though Ingram was balling. He ruined LaMelo, Lonzo's career. Oh, my God. Judging from the last sentence, Ball is apparently a big fan of Pistons coach Dwayne Casey and Knicks coach Tom Thibodeau. LaMelo has also been training in Detroit for the draft. The Pistons currently hold the 7th overall pick in the draft, while the Knicks sit at 8th overall. LaMelo might not even last that long. It is unlikely Ball falls that far, but trades can always change the situation. Yeah. That's what's going on with ladies with LaVar Ball out here talking, running, bumping them guns, talking that yang yang. LaVar talking that yang yang. LaVar talking that good yang yang. So we're going to see what happened where LaMelo Ball gets drafted, and even if LaMelo Ball would actually be a viable player in the NBA. Because we know LaVar's a hell of a market. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hola. But we know LaVar is a hell of a marketer, though. Because LaVar talked his son into being the number 2 draft pick in the 2017 draft. But then his son didn't turn out to be number 2 draft pick worthy, even though he's walking 10-10-10. But we're going to need more than that. You heard me? So even like this year in New Orleans, it ain't like, Lonzo Ball lit the league up. So, we're still waiting on that juice that LaVar was talking about. We're still waiting on him to be better than Curry. So, but shout out to LaVar Ball, everything he done built, though. Like I say, man, I love to hear him talk because white people draws get tight when LaVar Ball tight. When LaVar Ball be talking, white folk draws get tight because they don't like him. And the only thing they can do is just not like him. They can't shut him up. They can't. They can just not invite him to their platforms. All right. He got his own platforms. They can just, I don't like him. All right. Can't mess that man money up, though. LaVar's the only one who can mess his money up. So shout out to LaVar on that, man. Like, the white folk draw, stay tight when he be talking. I don't like LaVar Ball. Bitch, we don't like you either. So that's what's going on with that. Alright, so for all my OG baseball fans, y'all know about that Tony La Russa with the St. Louis Cardinals, man. Back with them Cardinals. But the Chicago White Sox said, hey, man. Tony! Come coach with us, man. We need a coach, man. And we need you to come coach with us, man. So come coach, man. Tony said, all right, man. I can coach with y'all, boy. But y'all got to pay me handsomely now. I got to pay me like I'm LeBron James. Psych. Now better pay me better than that. This baseball, bitch, we got more money. He didn't really say that. But so the Chicago White Sox have hired Tony La Russa to be the next manager. The team made the announcement on Thursday afternoon, and this is a tweet by the White Sox Tony La Russa, a member of Baseball's Hall of Fame, the third one in his managing baseball series, a three-time in baseball history, a three-time World Series champion, and four-time winner of the Manager of the Year Award, has been named the new manager of the Chicago White Sox. Tony La Russa, who's 76, hasn't managed since winning the 2011 World Series with the Cardinals. He jumps past Astros skipper Dusty Baker for the title of the oldest manager in baseball. The oldest manager in MLB history was Connie Mack, who worked until he was 87. Though it's been a while since La Russa pulled the strings in the dugout, he's one of the more decorated managers in recent MLB history. It started with the White Sox in 1979, managing parts of eight seasons with them. He also managed parts of 10 years with the Athletics and 16 full years with the Cardinals. Along the way, he won 12 division titles, six pennants, and three World Series championships. His hiring is not based on friendship or on what happened years ago, but on the fact that we have the opportunity to have one of the greatest managers in the game's history in our dugout at a time when we believe our team is poised for great accomplishments, White Sox chairman Jerry Reinsdorf said. Reinsdorf. Only Mack and John McGraw have won more games than La Russa, 2,728. And he's only 25 away from tying McGraw. When it comes to playoff win, only Joe Torre is 84 more than La Russa 70. Only five managers have won more World Series of pennants than La Russa. While I have had other inquiries about managing since retiring, this opportunity with the White Sox brings together a number of important factors that make this the right time and the right place, La Russa said in a statement. The on-field talent is amazing. The front office led by Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn has done everything necessary to create an atmosphere of long-term success. All of these factors align to make this a tremendous opportunity, and I am excited to get going as soon as possible by building a coaching staff and getting to work. Now, the question is, how will La Russa's skills translate after nine seasons of not doing the job, especially with such a young and talented team? Heading into 2020, the White Sox hadn't had a winning record since 2012, but they went 35-25 this season. The core includes veteran MVP candidate Jose Abreu, veteran Cy Young contender Dallas Keuchel, other star caliber veterans like Tim Anderson, Yasmani Grandal, and Lucas Giolito, along with exciting and talented youngsters like Yoan Moncada, Eloy Jimenez, and Luis Robert. There are plenty of reasons for excitement with the White Sox moving forward. So they reach back in time, back to 1979, and they rehired somebody who helped make that franchise shine. It's Tony La Russa, the new head coach with the juice. Well, we shall see how he will be as a new manager in the MLB once again. Y'all like how I sung that Disney song style? But, yeah, we're going to see what Tony La Russa is talking about. He old as hell. He's 76 years old, hasn't managed in 9 years, and he's going back to his roots. Going back to where it all started, where he got his first managerial experience in the MLB with the Chicago White Sox. He's going back. And they say, we got a lot of good people. We got a good staff. We got some good players. That's great fans in Chicago. Great food. It's going down. Meet me at the trap. It's going down. Meet me at the ballpark. It's going down. Meet me at your mom's house. She's going down. You know? That's how it is. I am Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa coming out. He said he coming out hard. Tony La Russa said he come up to come down. And he going to go back to Chicago and make everything happen. The goal is to get them boys back to the World Series. He say they have the talent. They ain't won one since 2011. They won a World Series in 2011. I remember that. Let me find where it was. It was 2011. And they had won the World Series. Where was I? But anyway, he won. They won. They ain't been talking about nothing since then. And they say they want to get back to winning ways, right?
We got to go back and win again.
We got to make sure. We got to make sure we win again. You feel me? So the White Sox, let me go back and reread. It says, La Russa skills translate to 9 seasons, not doing the job. So the White Sox hadn't had a winning record since 2012 when they went 35-25. Well, they went 35-25 this season. The core includes yada, 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 yada. Said we're extremely grateful as we show 2020 talent. I might have just got some stuff mixed up. That's why I'm trying to go back and make sure what I said was correct. Okay, yeah. So La Russa hasn't managed since winning the 2011 World Series with the Cardinals. So La Russa, that's why. So I got it mixed up. So La Russa won. La Russa's Cardinals won the chip in 11, not the White Sox. That's why I was trying to make sure. So La Russa and the Cardinals won the chip in 2011, not the White Sox. But the White Sox ain't had a winning season since 2012, even though they went 35-25 this year. And they say, we want to do better. We want to have a better showing, a better billing, and we got to show up and show out and get down and get up and get on and so on and so on. And I remember when I used to have to get my swole on. So, might be a reason to watch baseball next year. It may be, may not be, but we going to see. But Tony La Russa is bite. He bite. Tony don't know how to ite. He the mite. VIP up in the bike. Yay, yay. There it is. Let's talk a little football news. When I say football, y'all say no. Football, football. When I say football, y'all say no. Football, football. Willie Carlton, I'm sorry. So, look at all them rumors about the NFL. Look at all them rumors that make you want to sell. Oh, let me comb my beard out. No Shave November. No Shave November. No Shave. No Shave no November. So, look at all them rumors. About that NFL, look at my eye. So, there's been rumors that the NFL will only have 20% capacity at the Super Bowl. But in this article by Pro Football Talk, they saying, bitch, we dispute those rumors. And we finna get into it. So, Ben Fisher of Sports Business Daily. The NFL disputes a report from ESPN that the league anticipates having 1 of 5 seats filled at Raymond James Stadium for the annual NFL Championship, a.k.a. the Super Bowl, a.k.a. yeah, bitch, somebody gonna get that brain. So NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy told Fisher that there is no set capacity figure at this time as we continue to monitor the ongoing pandemic. With more than 3 months to go, McCarthy acknowledged that the end result of the conversations and negotiations could be 20% capacity, but that the outcome is far from certain at this point. With the virus still spreading and no reason to think it will subside in early February. 20% seems optimistic. The final decision represents a delicate balance between things some states are willing to do and the extent to which the NFL is willing to do the things some states are willing to let them do. And we know Florida don't give a fuck. I'm here. I'm here right now in Florida at this moment right now. Florida don't give a fuck. I tell you that. So NFL can come down that bitch and have all types of parties and stuff and spread all type of corona and STDs. And Florida won't give no fucks. Because, hell, it's already happened. So we don't know what the capacity it will be at this moment. One thing we do know is the Dallas Cowboys would not be in the Super Bowl. That's one thing we do know. I was hoping they would be. But we're fucking 2-6. But that's for the weekly rant. But right now, we don't know what the capacity for the Super Bowl will be. And it's a bit early to determine that, too. They still got time. But moving toward February, we need to know what that capacity going to be. And you're going to be in Florida. So you really can let it all hang out in the state of Florida. Because, hell, everybody else is. Everybody, I'm just saying, everybody else is letting it all hang out in the state of Florida. Why not let it all hang out? So it's the Super Bowl. Go to Tampa and spread as much corona as you can. While everybody else is doing it. I'm being sarcastic. But still, I'm being sarcastic because, hell, there's so much corona being passed around in Florida right now. It's ridiculous. We don't know what's being passed more, chlamydia or corona in the state of Florida. But we know we got them seeds. That's all we know. We got them seeds, either chlamydia or corona. Either way, in the state of Florida, it's being passed like a motherfucker. Hallelujah. Somebody come safe. My goddamn nose itch like a bitch. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope. All right, so let's catch up on some scores from this past week of college football. Who's good? Who's sorry? We're going to see. Well, big games, Florida, Georgia, Notre Dame, Clemson, right? So, first game that we're looking at is Miami, NC State, and Miami continues its winning ways, even though they lost to Clemson. Miami improves to 6-1 on the season. Their ranking is now number 9. And they got a 44-41 victory over South Carolina State. Miami scoring 13 points in the fourth quarter to put them over the top of the Wolfpack. The Eric King, Miami's quarterback, went 31-41, 430 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks. And matter of fact, they said, watching the broadcast last night, De'Eric King has only thrown 14 interceptions in his whole career. De'Eric King also had 15 carries for 105 total yards, so he accounted for 535 total yards. So one time for De'Eric King. This thing would mess up. Come on. All right, so next on the slate, we have BYU and Boise State. And BYU, who's ranked number 8, gets the victory 51-17 over Boise State, who every now and then want to act like they trying to be a real football team. So number 22, Liberty, actually gets the upset win over unranked Virginia Tech, even though Virginia Tech is unranked. And Liberty is 22. They get upset 38-35 over Virginia Tech. The Hokies got hoped. Them Hokies got hoped, and they got poked, and they turned themselves around. See what I did there? Because that's what I'm all about. All right. So Nebraska continues their losing ways as they lose to number 23 Northwestern, and Nebraska is 0-2. Well, they 0-2. That's right. The Big Ten did just start. So Nebraska is 0-2 on the season, and they lose to Northwestern 13-21. Water is tasting good right now. So SMU, who's ranked number 19, they got a 47-23 victory over Temple. Michigan loses again. Michigan loses this time to number 10, Indiana. Michigan is 1-2 on the season. Indiana is 3-0. This final score was 38-21 Indiana. And Jim Harbaugh may be on his way out. If this season is bad, Jim Harbaugh may be a thing of the past. You heard me? Number 25, Louisiana Lafayette. That's how you know this season is laughable, when Louisiana Lafayette is number 25. But number 25, Louisiana Lafayette gets the 27-20 victory over Arkansas State. Number 20, USC edged out Arizona State with my dog Herman Edwards at Arizona State, 28-27. Texas gets the 17-13 and narrow victory over West Virginia. Marshall opened their ass up and took a shit on UMass, 51-10. Oklahoma opened their ass up and took a shit on Kansas, 62-9. Oklahoma is actually ranked number 18 in the nation. Oklahoma does has two losses, while Kansas is 0-7. Shit, Kansas. Everybody fucking you in your ass, Kansas. You just getting the train ran on you by the whole conference. All right, so Cincinnati put that thing on Houston, 38-10, and Cincinnati's ranked number 7. The Florida Gators, them Gators set. Man, hey, so Georgia was up 14-0 on Florida in the first half. And then the skies just opened up. Kyle Trask, the boy, said, hey, man, let's remember who we are. And Florida just like, okay, so like I said, so Georgia was up 14-0 in the first half. I mean, the first quarter, Georgia up 14-0. And then Florida comes back the next two possessions, their next two possessions in score. So, bam, going to the second quarter is 14-14. And then Florida put 24 points on Georgia in the second quarter. Georgia only scored scored 7 points. In the third quarter, Georgia scored a touchdown. Florida only scored a field goal. And then the fourth quarter, of course, the game was pretty much over by then, but Florida kicked another field goal. Should have had two field goals. Kick them missed one field goal, but they got the field goal. Iced the game a little more. And ended the game with a 44-28 victory, putting them first in the SEC East and in the driver's seat to play Alabama in the SEC Championship game if everybody continues their winning ways. So Kyle Trask, he went 30 for 43, 474 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 pick. David Pierce had 15 carries, 52 yards, and 1 touchdown. M. Davis had 5 receptions, 100 yards. Wright had 3 receptions, 71 yards. But that monster of a tight end, that dog, Pitts, had 2 receptions, 59 yards, and a touchdown. Hey, Pitts probably going to be the first tight end taken off the board in this year's draft, in this upcoming draft. I'm telling you, Pitts is a monster. I've been watching him all year. Pitts is a monster, man. I'm telling you. Best tight end in college football is Pitts. If you don't believe me, just go back and watch. So, Florida, I believe Florida is actually good enough to beat Alabama. Alabama has some defensive issues. Florida's offense is good enough to rock with Alabama's offense. It is. It is. And Florida's defense seemed like it may be a bit better around the same range as Bama's defense. Bama's defense isn't great. Florida's isn't evil, but I think Florida could beat Bama. I think it'll be a good game, too. So Florida and Bama could be the SEC championship game if both continue their winning ways, right? So moving on, Oklahoma State beats Kansas State 20-18. Texas A&M opened up their ass and took a shit on South Carolina 48-3. Texas A&M is ranked 5th in the nation. And their record is 5-1. Texas A&M is actually 5-1. So Jimbo Fisher ain't doing that bad. Even though talking to Florida State people try to make it seem like Jimbo Fisher just out down there rotting and just crashing and burning. But they ranked number 5 in the nation right now. This is a fucked up season, but they ranked number 5. Tell you who ain't, and that's Florida State. Got their ass whooped again. So Iowa State beats Baylor 31-38. Oregon beats Stanford 35-14. Clemson loses to Notre Dame in overtime 40-42. 7. And it was actually a double overtime. Ui Agalele, DJ Ui. That's how I'm called, Clemson quarterback DJ Ui. So I like Ui, but Ui's still wet behind the ears. So Clemson gonna be straight moving forward, but Ui's still wet behind the ears, right? So one of the problems Clemson had is Travis Etienne only had 18 carries for 28 yards. That's one of the reasons why they lost. Etienne only had 28 yards, right? But Ui went 29 for 44, 439 yards, 2 touchdowns. Didn't throw any picks. Sacks and stuff do happen. But Notre Dame's quarterback, Ian Book, went 22 for 39, 310, and 1 touchdown. But Notre Dame got that victory. So in the second overtime, Notre Dame got the score and was able to prevent Clemson from scoring. And Notre Dame is now going to take over the top spot in the ACC and should be ranked in the top. Notre Dame is ranked number 2. What do they have Alabama as? Do they even have Alabama? What is Alabama ranked? So Bama is 1. Duh. Bama is 1. And Bama and LSU play this upcoming week. Bama is 1. Notre Dame is 2. Iowa State is 3. And speaking of Ohio State, they beat the shit out of Rutgers 49-27. Then Coastal Carolina continued their winning ways, ranked number 15, beat South Alabama 23-6. Those are all the games that matter from this last week's college football season. Bring you up to speed on what's happening in the league, in the NFL, in the real football league, where it go down. One time for the Dallas Cowboys. Update on the Dallas Cowboys. It's third quarter, 2 minutes and 35 seconds left in the third quarter, and the Dallas Cowboys are leading the Pittsburgh Steelers 16-9 with the third-string quarterback. I take that back. We're going to the Super Bowl this year. The Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl this year. We're going to win. We're going to beat the Steelers and go on the winning streak, and we're going to end the season 10-6. We're going to win our division. Going to the playoffs, steamrolling everybody in the playoffs, and go win the Super Bowl. If you think I'm crazy, you a bitch. So, week 9 of the NFL season. So, the Packers beat the 49ers Thursday night. Aaron Rodgers doing his thing. Packers beat the 49ers 34-17. Aaron Rodgers went 25-31, 305 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Devontae Adams, 10 catches, 173 yards, 1 touchdown. Bowling. You know, the 49ers are still without Jimmy Garoppolo. So, the Texans beat the Jaguars 27-25. Deshaun Watson, that boy, went 19 for 32, 281 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Yeah, 10 carries, 50 yards as well. And he led his team to a 27-25 victory over them Jacksonville Jaguars. Duval. So, a stank-ass NFC East matchup, the New York Midgets versus the Washington Fuckboys, and the Midgets beat the Fuckboys 23-20. The Ravens got the victory over the Colts 24-10. Let's see what that boy Lamar did. That boy Lamar went 19 for 23, 170 yards, no touchdowns, but no picks. Also had 13 carries, 58 yards, and 1 touchdown. Let's see what that boy Phillip Rivers. And Phillip Rivers went 25 for 43, 27 yards, and 1 pick. It might be over for Phillip Rivers, man. It might be over. The Vikings beat the Lions 34-20. The Titans beat the Bears 24-17. Let's see what that boy Derrick Henry did. That boy Derrick Henry had 21 carries for 68 yards, and the Titans still got the victory. I didn't know! The Panthers lost to the Chiefs, a narrow loss, 33-31. See what that boy, Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy went 36 for 49, 310 yards, 2 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey, 18 carries, 69 yards, 1 touchdown. Teddy Bridgewater also had 2 carries for 19 yards and a touchdown. That boy Patrick Mahomes went 30 for 45, 372 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 picks. Key. That was Hilaire. And the Chiefs running game was atrocious. So 12 overall carries. Hold up. 12 overall carries for 30 overall yards. Edwards Hilaire had 14 yards. Le'Veon had 8 yards. And Tyreek Hill had 8 yards. Okay. But the Chiefs get, that's why they got a narrow victory. Got to run that ball better. So the Seahawks beat, actually lost to the Bills 34-44. The Falcons actually got a victory. Falcons actually stopped the comeback by the Broncos, and they get the victory of a 34-27. That boy, Matt Ryan went 25-35, 284 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 pick. What time for Matt Ryan? The Raiders and the Chargers are actually playing right now. The Raiders are up on the Chargers 28-20. The Cardinals are tied with the Dolphins right now 24-24. Like I said, these Cowboys are up on the Steelers. We just got a field goal, so we got a 10-point lead on the Steelers, 19-9. And we got the Bucks and the Saints coming up tonight and the Pats and the Jets tomorrow. So you're going to be listening to this on Monday. So Pats and Jets tonight and Saints and Bucks last night. Yeah, I was supposed to be talking like that. Past tense. You get the motherfucking picture. You. I know you do. I know you get the picture. Look up my nose. Look up my nose. See that nose there? Look up my nose. I've been doing some weird shit. I know I'm bored. I'm entertaining, though. I'm entertaining. If you got the video, you just seen up my nose. You just seen my brain. You just seen my brain if you got the video. Hey, man, y'all remember, man, y'all become a patron. Patreon.com/TheFix. 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 If you become a patron on Patreon and we on the grind and we all done won and we all can run and everybody going to have some fun. Oh! Patreon.com/TheFix. 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 Support your homeboy. All right, so let's transition back. So gear up for this weekly rant. So the Arizona Wildcats men's basketball team got hit with 9 alleged NCAA rule violations. Allegedly, they violated NCAA rules, but they were hit with some things, though. Allegedly. It happened, but it was alleged that it happened, but it didn't happen because it was alleged. So allegedly it didn't happen, but allegedly it happened, but it didn't happen, but it happened, but it didn't happen because it's alleged. All right, so the University of Arizona has been served with 9. I gave the girl all 9 allegations of misconduct, including 5 level 1 allegations, the most serious under NCAA rules, following a multi-year investigation of its men's basketball program, sources confirmed to ESPN on Sunday. Damn, bitch! The Athletic, which first reported the number of allegations, also reported on Sunday that Arizona has been charged with lack of institutional control and failure to monitor, and Wildcats coach Sean Miller has been charged with lack of head coach control because Sean Miller is a... I don't know who Sean Miller is. So the Athletic reported that it obtained the information from a letter that Arizona's outside attorney Paul Kelly sent to the NCAA requesting that the infractions case be referred to the Independent Accountability Resolution Process, the IARP, which was formed to handle complex cases. On Friday, Arizona officials acknowledged receiving a notice of allegations from the NCAA, but declined to release it or provide details. Because I provide your girl details, because I gave her all nine, allegedly. A special meeting of the Arizona Board of Regents is scheduled for Monday. The Athletics reported that Wildcats women's swimming and diving coach Augie Bush is also charged with the head coach control violation. Arizona is the eighth university to publicly acknowledge receiving an NCAA notice of allegations related to information obtained from a federal investigation into bribes and other misconduct in college basketball during the Kansas, Louisville, NCAA State, Oklahoma State, South Carolina, TCU, and USC. The NCAA enforcement staff also accused LSU coach Will Wade of either arranging for or offering impermissible payments to at least 11 potential recruits or others around them, according to documents obtained by ESPN in August. The LSU case will also be handled by the IARP along with those involving Kansas, Louisville, and NC State. Sources had previously told ESPN that Alabama, Greenbow, Alabama, Auburn, and Creighton were also under investigation, with none of these schools have confirmed receiving a notice of allegations. Oklahoma State is the only program to receive penalties thus far. In June, the NCAA Committee on Infractions placed the Cowboys on 3 years of probation and banned them from playing in postseason tournaments this season. The penalties were the result of one level one violation involving former associate head coach Lamont Evans, who was sentenced to sentenced in June 2019 to 3 months in prison for accepting between $18,150 and $22,000 in bribes to steal players from South Carolina to Oklahoma State to agents and financial advisors. Y'all going down, Arizona. You going down. So, it says, former Arizona assistant Emmanuel Book Richardson was one of four former assistant coaches who pleaded guilty for their roles in the federal bribery case. He pleaded guilty to one felony count of conspiracy to commit bribery in a plea deal after prosecutors accused him of accepting $20,000 to steer Arizona players to certain managers and financial advisors once they turned pro. A judge sentenced him to 3 months in prison and 2 years of probation. During one of the federal criminal trials, prosecutors placed a wiretap recording to the jury in which Richardson told aspiring manager Christian Dawkins that Miller was paying then Wildcat star center DeAndre Ayton $10,000 per month whilst he was enrolled at the school, as he should have. So yeah, man, the Wildcats and everybody else, hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't winning. You got to cheat to win in collegiate sports. You got to cheat to win. Now, see, if they just find a better way for money to be earned and all those things, I think a lot of stuff can be eliminated, but it's hard to eliminate bad people out of college football. It's some horrible-ass adults who will ruin the lives for a lot of these collegiate players, man. And the NCAA got to do a better job of ruling these motherfuckers out. And at the same time, without treating these players like fucking slaves, just having them doing all the labor while you getting all the wealth. So, yeah. Yeah. Somebody could say, but not really, because it was a football fight. All right, so last week, it was a game between the Bears and the Saints. And I think one buddy got his mouthpiece stolen. Then he came back. He was mad that buddy stole his mouthpiece. And he stole other buddy's mouthpiece, tried to steal his mouthpiece, and then bust him in the face again, and it was a fight. So let's read. Chicago Bears wide receiver Javon Williams has been suspended for attacking New Orleans Saints defensive back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson midway through Sunday afternoon's overtime loss. Midway through the game. So buddy was so mad he was willing to risk his team losing, because he was mad that he got his mouthpiece stolen. The NFL announced it suspended Williams for 2 games without pay for violations of unsportsmanlike conduct rules. Like, blip, 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 catch these hands. Right? Williams will appeal the suspension, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reported. The NFL Network's Tom Pelissero later reported per an informed source that the NFL will hear Williams' appeal on Tuesday as he looks to get his suspension reduced or vacated. Midway through the third quarter of the Bears' 26-23 overtime loss. See? Williams seemingly unprovoked approached Gardner Johnson from behind and proceeded to punch the DB in the helmet twice, the first time with a closed fist. Williams was immediately ejected. Earlier in the game, the broadcast showed Gardner Johnson ripping off Williams' mouth guard away from the play following a Bears run. Williams' attack came on the next play that both were on the field following a Saints possession. Pelissero reported earlier that Williams told teams officials that Gardner Johnson spit on him in addition to ripping out the wide receiver's mouthpiece. Surely that claim would be part of the receiver's suspension appeal. Coach Matt Nagy said Monday that he's keeping his conversation with Williams private, except to note that the wideout was apologetic. The wideout was apologetic because he was fucking stupid and no self-control, not controlling. Hey, man, catch buddy after the game. Do something like that. Do what you got to do. But, man, don't. See, y'all got to be trying to win, man. Team lost, bro. No matter what, he can't do what he did, the Bears coach said. Several ejections this season have not led to suspensions. Those disqualifications came in the normal course of play. Illegal hits by players without a significant history of dirty plays. Williams' actions did not. The NFL suspending Williams two games is a strong statement that won't tolerate fights on this field. Yeah. But he should have handled himself a whole lot better. He got mad. He got mad because the other buddy, he said other buddy, well, we know Gardner Johnson ripped his mouthpiece out. We got film of Gardner Johnson ripping his mouthpiece out. We don't have any visual evidence of the spitting, but we do got visual evidence of Gardner Johnson ripping Williams' mouthpiece out. And the Dallas Cowboy just blocked the field goal because after the Steelers scored a touchdown, the Dallas Cowboy blocked the field goal. So, Gardner Johnson, like I said, we got film of him ripping Williams' mouthpiece out of his mouth. And then we got film of Williams. Looked like he tried to rip Gardner Johnson's mouthpiece back out. But he couldn't. Then he hit him with a closed fist. Then he bust him in the face again. And then the fight broke out. Yeah, Williams. And then your team lost. Congratulations. You got played. Like what your boy say on the Hot 97 show with what your boy? I forgot buddy's name. But that's not something I say on this show. But that's buddy with the Hot 97 show. Yeah, that's what they say. But come on, Williams. Well, you got to do better than that, bro. You got to be smarter than that. You got to be cooler than that. And you got kicked out. You get suspended for two games, and your team still lost. And you better hope your team win them two games you suspended. That was stupid. You acted stupid, and you got what you was asking for. So that's why your ass is suspended two games, and Gardner Johnson is not. And then they got to prove buddy spit on you. You got to prove buddy spit on you. Ripping your mouthpiece out ain't necessarily going to get you suspended and shit like that. But you out here, not only you tried to rip his mouthpiece back out, you couldn't because I don't think he had the connection. Looked like you tried to go in his mouth and put your finger in his mouth and rip the mouthpiece out, but you couldn't. So you bust him in the face one time and bust him in the face again. But what was crazy, though, when Williams hit Gardner Johnson in the face the first time, Gardner Johnson was just acting like, like, what's happening, bro? What the fuck is going on, bro? And then when he hit him in the face again, I guess he knew that he meant business, and then that's when they started tussling. Started a little tussle. And it was on to the, like, hot buttered popcorn from there. So it was pretty funny, pretty hilarious, but pretty stupid at the same time, which got him a pretty good suspension. So with that being said, I really don't have nothing follow up with that. I just want to say that with that being said. So, I don't know what the total fallout going to be. We're going to see if we get some kind of some appeals, honored. Go Dallas, go Dallas, go Dallas, go Dallas, go Dallas. We said we're going to get some appeals, honored, or suspensions, repealed, or something like that. But for right now, Buddy's suspended, and we're going to see what happens with that. Javon Williams. You're not going to rip out my mouthpiece, Buddy, and spit on me, allegedly. You allegedly spit on me, and you ripped my mouthpiece out. You're not going to do that anymore. I'm going to kick your ass, Buddy. That's what he tried to do. That's what he tried to do. Do you know what time it is? I said those out there in YouTube land, those out there in video land, those out there in podcast land, those who can hear my voice. Can you hear my voice? If you can hear my voice, I want to know if you know what time it is. Hey, baby, do you know what time it is? Oh, yeah. I know you know what time it is. I know you know what time it is. Go ahead and pull your panties to the side, because it's time for my weekly rant. Fuck yeah. This ain't at a franchise called Them Boys. Now, the Dallas Cowboys, man, I am so hot at the Cowboys this year, man. We motherfucking 2-6. We're up 19-15 on the Pittsburgh Steelers at this moment with 14. In the fourth quarter, we're 13-19, 13-18, 17-16, 15 on the clock right now. And they just handed the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott. Up the middle, up the spin, got the first down. Yes, sir. And we look like we're about to score again. But overall on the season, we've been playing like some hoes. Jared Jones, shut the fuck up and sit down, man. Stephen Jones, y'all need to let motherfuckers who really know about football take over this team. Now, damn, Ezekiel Elliott been fumbling the whole fucking season. We got C.D. Lamb, Gallup, and Amari Cooper with a viable tight end. With Ezekiel Elliott and the other buddy, number 20, coming out the backfield. And our offense is stagnant. Why? Because our offensive line playing like some bitches. Our offensive line has been trash. Our defense has been trash. Hot trash defense. Your boy Diggs had two interceptions last week. But for the most part, our defense has been trash. I've watched every game this year. If it's one thing I've been watching, it's Dallas Cowboys games. If I ain't been watching nothing else, I've been watching Dallas Cowboys games. And we are too fucking good to be 2-6. And I understand we lost Dak Prescott. We lost Dak Prescott. Right? Andy Dalton comes in. Illegal shot on Andy Dalton. He gets knocked out. And nobody got any beef with anybody. Nobody want to fight. I just did a story about a buddy fighting because he got his mouthpiece ripped out of his mouth. You got your whole quarterback knocked out the game with an illegal shot, and nobody has an issue. Nobody want to fight. Nobody want to get tough. Nobody want to get brolic. Nobody want to get illmatic. Nobody got any plex. Nobody. Nobody got no smoke for nobody. No smoke. No smoke. Nope. The Dallas Cowboys out there playing like some hoes this year as a whole. Like, we're 2-6, bro. Like, the way it's looking, and surprisingly, though, because the division is trash, we're still in position to win the NFC East, but that's because the division as a whole is fucking trash this year. 2020 opened his ass up and shit out the actual NFC East. That's what happened this year. That's, if you want the NFC East in the NFL, the NFC East is a cumulative total of what came out the asshole of this year 2020. It's the NFC East. And shit out the Dallas Cowboys, the Washington Fuckboys, the New York Giants, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Shit them all out with corn. That's the total example of what came out the ass of the year 2020 is the NFC East. That's how bad the fucking division have been. But a team as talented as the Dallas Cowboys come into 2020. I understand Dak Prescott is hurt. I understand Andy Dalton is hurt. But can we play with some heart? Now, this game today, right now, that I'm watching right now against the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're up 15-19 in the fourth quarter. And Dallas looking like we want to do some things. So it's a penalty on the field. We got to look like we got to roughen the passer because Minka Fitzpatrick got the interception. But it's a roughing, look like a roughing the passer flag on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It may be. And look like we may get the ball back. We may or may not. I don't know. I got the volume down. I can't really hear because I'm ranting about these motherfuckers. But God damn, Dallas. Come on, man. 2-6. 2-6, Dallas. 2-6. We 2-6. Really? Really? Like Dallas just said, if Dallas that dude that don't want to really fuck. He just want to stick the head in. Hey, baby, just let's just let me put the head in. Hey, girl, just let me put the head in. We ain't got to do the whole thing. Just let me put the head in. You mediocre-ass mindset motherfucker. You mediocre mindset motherfucking Mark. That's better because it's 4 M's. Mediocre mindset motherfucking Mark. You get it? You get my wordplay. I'm a wordsmith around this bitch. You hear me? But goddamn, Dallas, come on, man. Mike McCarthy, this first year, our offense was good under Dak. We had DiNucci last week, And this week, I can't even remember the fucking quarterback. Now I'm watching the game, and I don't even know what the fucking quarterback's name is, but. You're doing a better job than DiNucci. They got some dude who played with Steve Spurrier, one of them leagues that was trying to compete with the NFL. But he's doing better than goddamn DiNucci, and the Dallas Cowboys are winning. We're up 15-19 on the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. So goddamn, like everything sucks. Like our defense is fucking terrible. Like our defense just decide, I know we getting paid to do this shit, bruh. Like, I know we getting paid. Like, I know they're paying us money. Like, but do we really got to do this shit, dog? Man, I don't feel like tackling nobody, dog. Like, who tackles? You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, dog. Like, who really tackles? Nobody tackles. Nobody really tackles. You heard me? Like, nobody really tackles. So, let me show you. So, some of these defensive stats. So, like, some of these total yards. So, the Eagles had 222. Now, that can't be right. Well, look like the Eagles had 222 total yards. The Redskins had 397. The Cardinals had 438. Giants had 300. The Cleveland Browns had 508. Seahawks had 412. Falcons had 380. We got that comeback victory. And the Rams had 422. Like, we just been giving up motherfucking points. Like, damn. Dallas Cowboys, man. So we did throw the interception. I guess the personal foul was after the interception. So, yeah, we just threw an interception in the red zone. Go figure. That was such a Dallas Cowboy thing to do. Ah, man, if we could just survive this season, if we could just All right, it's over for us. Let's just go around fucking up other people's season. Let's go around giving people losses in places where they don't need to have losses. But let's at least play with some dignity, play with some fire or something. Ezekiel Elliott, hold on to the motherfucking ball. Defense, stop somebody. Stop somebody. It's third and two. All right, they're in the shotgun, third and two. Bam. Oh, they got the first down. I'm about to start drinking. I'm about to start drinking. I'm about to take my drawers off, run around my neighborhood, drinking. And that's what this going to lead me to. That's what watching these Cowboys going to lead me to is fucking drinking. And I said, I'm not really drinking no more unless it's wine or water or cranberry juice or sweet tea or a soda or two. But mostly water, cranberry juice, sweet tea, and wine. But shit, I might need me a goddamn Old English after watching the Dallas Cowboys season. Might need me some Schlitz malt liquor just to help me cope. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope watching the goddamn Dallas Cowboys. Oh, man. This is frustrating, dog. Like, it's frustrating because we came into the season with high expectations. Now, this whole year is just fucked up. Like, this whole year, they just, like, 2020 just said, y'all want some shit? Now, we been shit in your face. Bah! NFC East. Here we are. Dallas Cowboys. Washington Fuckboys. New York Giants. Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, that's it. Hey, man, but I ain't going to dwell on it. I ain't going to continue to beat a dead horse because, hell, everybody else going. The Cowboys are the butt of jokes for the NFL this year and all the fans and stuff, so we get it. We get it. Everybody hating on the Cowboys. But mark my words, we're going to be in the Super Bowl next year. We're going to win the Super Bowl next year. And when we win the Super Bowl, I'm remembering everybody who's talking that bullshit about us. But, God damn, let's play better. Let's stop doing it. Bullshit, Dallas. Come on. I'm out. And that's all I got to say about that. Hey, man, this is the Fix Sports Podcast. Y'all already know what it is. www.freedomtrainradio.com. Patreon.com/TheFix if you want to go ahead and support your boy. Please support your boy. Support your homeboy. With your support, I will be able to grow this platform, be able to impact my community and other communities better with giving more information, with contacting more people, interviewing more people, using more resources. I have actual community resources that I already use in the community, but they will help me be able to enhance those community resources. We try to feed people as much as possible. We do have food drives and things going on as much as possible. We try to get people in the right place, get people connected. Young kids who are trying to go play collegiate sports and stuff. We're trying to do a whole lot of different things right here with the Fix Sports Podcast and be a voice. A black voice for the world of sports in a way that is not all corny and all whitewashed and all that stuff there. So that's how we do it. That's how we get down. This is the Fix Sports Podcast, man. I love each and every person who comes out. Well, I don't necessarily have to come out because you ain't got to leave nowhere. But I love each and every person who supports the Fix Sports Podcast every motherfucking week. Every goddamn body who listen to this podcast, everybody who watch this podcast, everybody who get down on the get down with me, who be rocking with me. Hey, man, remember, y'all got any questions, comments, concerns, whatever, freestyle songs, monologues, dance moves, anything you want to tell your homeboy, man, y'all make sure y'all leave the comments. If you're watching on Patreon, make sure you use the comment. Leave a comment on all the podcast platforms. Leave the comments, man. If you checking this out on our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, and you leave a comment, you can email your homeboy, joe@freedomtrainradio.com. Email your homeboy, leave a comment, let me know what's going on. Hey, man, if it's anything you think I need to improve on, tell your homeboy, I'm trying to get better. Any problems y'all need solved? Anything that you don't like about the world of sports podcast that you believe that I can help fix, let your homeboy know. Let's communicate. I can only get better with y'all help. But once again, this is Joseph Ward right here in the Fix Sports Podcast right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Calling this a wrap for today. Really going down. Y'all enjoy y'all Monday. And remember, when you having sex, seek pleasure, and then you will do all the coming you need to do. I'm up out this thing. Ow! T. touch me, baby.
Peace.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Snare Claw. There's no one that